you have already
ordered.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
Being free, a lot of us are not free, though we're not actually physically in prison, but in our minds we're not free. But I just thank God that I'm free.
Oh yes, she's free, and she also just had Bible study, so my wife is on a 20 right now. 10 is the highest number, but she's on a 20, so she's very free.
Yes, yes, we had great Bible study, and we're continuing here on the show as we're talking about today, who do they say?
Who do they say I am?
I am. So welcome, welcome to the preacher.
And the pastor.
And I'm Tawanika Manning.
And I'm Dorothy Manning.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
I almost forgot to say that today. I was getting excited about it. So we had Bible study, so we already had kind of, you know, got it started about already about who do they say I am. So I'm really, really excited about, you know, tonight's topic and understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. And he came to finish it, to fulfill the prophecy, and he did that.
Yes, he did do that. And I'm trying to tell you that my wife and I, we're all stirred up, and we're ready to be able to deliver this word tonight.
I'm on fire. I'm on fire the Lord. I'm just excited. I'm excited. So, again, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Preaching the Pastor Show. And we're going to dive right into it. And who do they say I am?
Amen.
God bless all that is listening.
Amen. All that are listening. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. Again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about who do they say I am. Trusting God. Who is Jesus in your life? You know, and we'll just kind of pick up. I'll go back from when we were, as we were having a Bible study on tonight, about what the Bible says when Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And we're over here in Matthew, you all, and I'll give you all an opportunity to get to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be coming out of tonight, Matthew chapter 16, and that is verse 13 through 20, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say I am? And that's a question that you need to ask yourself. Who do they say that I am, and who do you say that Jesus is, and who is Jesus in your life? And we just want to, you know, reflect on that tonight. Amen. Who do they say I am, and who do you say I am? And we come out of Matthew 16. And like I said, we have this in Bible study. So I'm really stirred up and excited about the word going forward, and always excited about sharing the word of God. And we all are called to minister to one another. So after you receive it, then you know what? Give it to someone else. Freely you give, freely you receive, freely you shall give. So it's given to you freely. So make sure that you are blessing somebody else's life with the word of God. Everybody does not understand what they read and understand what the Bible is saying and how does it apply to one's life, and just having an understanding of the scripture. So again, we have Matthew 16, that's chapter 16, verse 13 through 20, and it reads, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, and we're talking about Jesus, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18 says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Verse 19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 20 says, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. And the reason why he told them that, it wasn't time for him to be revealed. It was not time for that, for him to be revealed yet. Everything has its timing. We have to understand that. So at this time, if we understand and know the Bible, Jesus was already teaching. So they were already coming against Jesus, the priests. They were coming against him. Everybody was coming against him. Even those that he was sent for to save were coming against him. And so they were questioning who he was. So he was asking his disciples, who do they say I am? Because it's one thing for the people on the outside to say who you are, but it's one thing for those that are around you to say who you are. You know, what you look like to some may not be who you truly are, but you that are there that should know who I am, you walk with me, talk with me, you saw me, so what? Who do you say that I am? Meaning, who do you believe me to be? Not all that I said to you, but all, who do you believe who I say I am and who sent me? So when we look at these scriptures, the disciples answer Jesus' question with the common view that Jesus was one of the great prophets. When we know the great prophets in the Bible, we talk about Elijah, we talk about John the Baptist, we talk about Jeremiah, you know, we talk about the different prophets. So they were saying that Jesus was one of the great prophets who had come back to life. So this belief may have stemmed from, you know, different books in the Bible where God said he would raise up a prophet among the people. We find that in Deuteronomy 18, and John the Baptist profile is in John 1. So as we know, Elijah and Jeremiah as well. So Peter, however, confessed Jesus as divine and as the promised and long-awaited Messiah. Amen? So if Jesus were to ask you this question, how would you answer? Is he your Lord and Messiah? Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? Who do they say he is? And who do you believe him to be? So the rock in which Jesus will build his church has been identified. One is Jesus himself, his work of salvation by dying for us on the cross. Two, Peter, the first great leader in the church in Jerusalem, the confession of faith that Peter gave and that all subsequent true believers would build. So it seems most likely that the rock refers to Peter as the leader of the church for his function and not necessarily his character. Just as Peter had revealed the true identity of Christ, so Jesus revealed Peter's identity and role at that time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who do you say I am? So now look here. Like, you was reading a very, very important scriptures right here. Now, Jesus Christ, when he asked, who do they say I am? So now God, now this is Jesus Christ now. This is God. This is God the Son. This is Jesus Christ. Now, he know who he is, but it's
yes.
not just for him to know who he is. It's up for you to know who he is.
Who he is.
Because
yes.
when you see what happened was when Peter said that you are the Christ, when Peter said that, see, what he was doing was he believed that you are the Christ. You know, he spoke. It was the Holy Spirit that was speaking in him, which is the same thing that we should do. We should do the same thing. We should always allow the Holy Spirit to speak in us, to speak to us and to speak in us. That's why the Bible tells us that man should always pray. Man should always pray. We should always pray. Because we should always have that communication. We should always have that connection with God. We should always be led by the Holy Spirit and not being led by Satan, or not being led by anybody else's words.
Oh, yes, about flesh. About flesh,
yes.
Our own self.
Yes, that's right. We should not be being led by flesh, doing any manner of things, all manner of things that's outside of being led by the Holy Spirit. Because we can mess up. But we can mess up. And there are times where, I mean, we know that, and there are times where we will say things that we should not say, or we will do things that we should not do. Place right here, that phrase right there, when you say things that you should not say, now this was something me and my grandmother was talking about a little bit earlier. There are times when we do that to where we'll be convicted, you know, in our spirit. We would know that, like, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? We would realize that, you know, that was Satan. That was Satan. You know, I allowed, you know, these words that came into my mouth or these words that came into my head to make me think and feel a certain type of way. And then something that came out of my mouth that should not have came out. But we need to know that God loves us. God loves us no matter what, because God knows that, you know, hey, when you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, you know, we're just human beings. You know, we were saying we would do things, but get back in that place where you're underneath grace. Get back where you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Because we'll read on down here that the same time when Jesus said, when Jesus had said to Peter, or 18, he said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon the rock, you know, I will build my church." But if you would go on down, you know, Peter was saying something else, and then Jesus rebuked him because it was Satan that was speaking. It was Satan that was speaking in him. What Jesus was doing, he rebuked Satan that was speaking through Peter. And a lot of times, you know, we'll be in that same place. Who do you say I am? Always being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. If you just tuned into the preaching and pastor, so we're talking about who do they say I am. You all, we want to advise you all again about our Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And let us give you that number. It's 978-990-5417. 978-990-5417. And the access code is 434-1580. Pound. Again, it's 434-1580 pound. We are the Gospel Public Ministry, so we are a church with our walls. We go the highways and the byways. You know, we want to be a blessing to all that we come in contact with, and so we thank God. And if there's a need out there and we can help, please do not hesitate to either email us or give us a call at 346-719-3349. We're always led, my husband, to sow into people to help, you know, for God has made us a blessing, to be a blessing. So you can either call us or email us at thepreachandthepastor@gmail.com. Again, we're talking about today, who do they say I am? And if we go over to John chapter 4, verse 27 through 42, and I'll read that. Father God, we ask that you bless the reader, the hearer, and most of our doers of your word on tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we're going to read from there as we talk about the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well. So we're going to start right here at verse 21. We're going to start at verse 21 through. And it reads, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is for the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit," we'll make it what you're saying, love, "in spirit and truth. for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Verse 24 said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit. Must worship in spirit. God is, just one moment, what is it left? We're in chapter 4, John. John chapter 4, and we're at verse 24 right now. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Verse 25 says, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Verse 26 says, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am him. So she didn't even know who she was speaking to. Who do they say I am? So in verse 27, the Bible says, and at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or what are you talking with her? Verse 28 says, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Who do they say I am? Again, she didn't even know that she was speaking to Christ, the Messiah, the one that came to save all. And then verse 30 says, then they went out of the city and came to him because she was saying who she thought he was. She was so convincing in her words that they had to come and see who this was, this man. The Bible says, and they went out to see, they went out of the city and came to him. And verse 31 says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So when we receive Jesus Christ and we know who he is and we allow him to be there in our life, we're able to reap that. We're able to reap and sow. Some of us are sowing and not reaping. So we're able to reap. We're able to sow and reap, and we're also able to reap and sow. So we're able to have favor when we have Jesus Christ. We receive favor. Then we go to verse 39 and say, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. Verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Who do they say I am? So here, the woman believed what she received from Jesus, believed what he was saying, and because of what she said, they came in when they were able to meet Jesus and talk with Jesus, then they believed. So verse 42 says, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Who do they say I am, and who do you say that Jesus is? And I'm just going to break down just a little bit here for you all, my husband was saying about spirit. So God is spirit. So we understand that God is spirit. So which means he is not a physical being limited to one place. So he is present everywhere, and he can be worshipped anywhere at any time. It is not where we worship that counts, but he who worship, is your worship genuine and true? Do you have the Holy Spirit's help? How does the Holy Spirit help us worship? The Holy Spirit prays for us. Okay, and teaches us the words of Christ and tells us we are loved. So when my husband is talking about, you know, when Peter received the word of God, when Jesus said, you couldn't get that from flesh and blood. No man told you that. It had to come directly from my heavenly Father. So this is what we're saying. God, we know that God is spirit, and God will speak to us. He will give us a word, and that's in the word is true. So when we look at verse 22 yeah. here, the verse says that you worship what you don't know. This is Jesus speaking. We know what we worship for salvation is for the Jews, but the hour is coming. So when Jesus said salvation is of the Jews, he meant that only through the Jewish Messiah would the whole world find salvation. I'm going to repeat that. In case somebody didn't get it. When Jesus said salvation is of the Jews, he meant that only through the Jewish Messiah would the whole world find salvation. So God had promised that through the Jewish race, the whole earth would be blessed. Amen. So the Old Testament prophets had called the Jews to be a light to the other nations of the world, bringing them to a knowledge of God, and that had predicted that the Messiah is coming. So the woman at the well may have known of this passage and was expecting the Messiah, but she didn't realize that she was talking to him. Who do they say I am? So you have Jesus that's among, Jesus was amongst them walking and talking, you know, ministering and teaching, and they didn't even know who he was. They wanted to count him out, though he told them who I am. He told us, you know, certain people, he revealed who he was. And in these scriptures, he revealed to her who he was. She's speaking and saying, oh, we know that the Messiah, when he comes, he would tell us all things. He would speak to us. And he told her, you are speaking to him. You are speaking to him. So who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus in your life? Who are you saying that Jesus is in your life? Amen?
Amen. Amen. No, I was just in here, and I was listening to this lesson. This is a very good lesson that's going on here tonight. You know, who, when that question, you know, who do you say I am? You know, that was a question that the Holy Spirit asked me at one point in time in my life. You know, the Holy Spirit asked me that question. I was doing something out here in this world, and I was fumbling around. It looked like I was lost. Like, everything that I did, it seemed like it was going right, and then it would make it to a place to where, you know what, I went so far, now it's not going right anymore. And it left me in that state of confusion and not knowing if I'm doing the right thing or if I'm going the right way. So this question, who do you say I am? So what I was wanting to do, I was wanting to come out of that. I was wanting to come out of that situation that I was in. And it was very hard for me to come out of that situation because, you know, I wasn't in the Word. I wasn't following the Word. I wasn't learning by the right people. I was just leading myself down the wrong way. I'm not saying somebody was leading, I was leading myself down the wrong way. But God asked me that question, you know, why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust me? And, you know, it was so clear to me that, you know what, you don't trust God, because there was many times, you know, when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I just act like I didn't even hear it. You know, oh, that ain't what I want to do. You know, I hear what you're saying, but that ain't what I want to do, because I'm doing something right now. You know, I'll pick that up and I'll do that later. Yeah.
Jesus.
But it came that particular point. It came that point in my life, you know, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and asked me that question, you know, why don't you trust me? And I could not even give an answer. I'm supposed to trust you because I say I am Christian. I say I'm a follower of Christ. So if I say that I'm a Christian, I say that I'm a follower of Christ, then why I'm not being led by the Holy Spirit? Why don't I put that down and go where God leads me, or go where he tells me? Now, that's what the shepherd does for his sheep, the shepherd. Now, the shepherd is not going to lead his sheep to a place to where they're going to be killed, or where they're going to be any harm or any danger. The shepherd is going to lead the sheep to a place to where they can receive, where they can eat, or where they can be fed, where they can just lay down, and like over there in Psalms 23. Where you can just be in protection at all times. But when you find yourself going out of the care, or when you find yourself out of grace and you're going away, you're taking yourself in a way where you can be harmed when you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And that includes places that you go, people that you hang out with, and also the things that you speak over your life.
Yes.
Who do you say I am? So we should always know. Now, Jesus Christ, now this is something that I found out. Something that I found out is that my eyes on Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you why I say that my eyes was not on Christ, because I wasn't opening up the Word of God, and I wasn't putting my eyes on the Word of God that was in the Bible, that's in the book of life. So here it is. I'm trying to live a life without reading the book of life.
My Lord.
Once
I want to say something while you're right there, Pastor. Put a period right there. put a period right there. I'm going to have to use your own saying. Because even here in the Bible, there's something, and I'm good that you said that, because as we're reading the Bible in John chapter 4 and the verses 34, when we're talking about, you said you were doing this and you were doing enough. So when it talks about the food here in 34, when Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? When we look at this, the food about which Jesus was speaking was his spiritual nourishment. So it includes more than Bible study, prayer, and attending church. Spiritual nourishment also comes from doing God's will and helping to bring his work of salvation to completion. So we are nourished not only by what we take in, but also what we give out for God. Amen. So Jesus refers to completing God's work on earth. And that's very important. So when you said that, I was like, let me intervene with that, because, you know, that scripture right here, you know, according to what you're saying, what we should be doing is more than just studying the Bible and praying and attending church. You know, we have to give too. You know, so making sure that what we get, we need to be giving out. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead.
You're exactly right about that. So what I did was, I said, okay, well, it's easy for us to say God, 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 but it's not a lot of times, you know, when we are immature, you know, in our faith, where we would call on Jesus. Now, the Word of God says that no man can come to the Father except through me. See, how are we going to try to be like God? How are we going to say that we're Christians trying to be like God without Christ? How can Christians be like Christ without Christ? And the way you be like Christ is accept him. You have to receive him. You have to accept him. You have to read his word. And after you read his word, believe his word, let his word get down on the inside of you. Believe it. Yes, it's something that you have to do. Because if you ain't putting your eyes on Christ, if you ain't putting your eyes on the word, how can you believe something that you haven't even read? How can you believe something that you haven't even put on the inside? You're not even thinking about it. And that's one thing that we should definitely know that. Stay in that protection. Who do you say I am? And even if you're not, if you're not in it, you know, it ain't too late. It ain't too late for you to hear the word of God. It ain't too late for you to read the word of God. It don't matter if you're one or if you're 81. It ain't too late.
Yeah.
God is here waiting on you. God is waiting on you. We waiting on God to do some things in our life, but God is waiting on us.
He's waiting on us.
He's already made the way for you. He's already sent his son. He's made this way for you. Now, God's the Father, God's the Son, and God's the Holy Spirit. Now, look what we have. Look what we have to do. We got God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, and he died for you for all your sins, for all men, once and for all. He died and was resurrected back up to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then the Holy Spirit ascended. He descended the Holy Spirit. He ascended and the Holy Spirit descended. So now you have the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. Read the word of God, because the Holy Spirit inside of you that will show you all things and do all things. Don't deny God. Just like Peter, like he denied God when God was walking with him, teaching him all things and doing all different types of things he's saying there. But now read the word of God. You can see Jesus right there. You can see him right there. You can see God right there. You can see him, and you can see a thing, you can believe a thing. If you can believe a thing, you can decree a thing. And the word of God said that if you decree a thing, it shall be so.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Just tuning into the Preaching the Pastor show. We're talking about, who do they say I am? This is Jesus speaking. Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? And what are they saying? Because a lot of times in the Bibles, we look through the Bible, you just been tuning in, we know the story about the disciples when Jesus asked them, who do they say I am and who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so as we're studying here tonight, as we're going over the Word of God, we had Bible study, so we're still pretty amped up. I know some of you all tuned into Bible study tonight as well, as we do a continuation here. When we look in the Bible here, and I'm still in John chapter 4, but right now I'm in going back to verse 35 here, and I'm going to read the scripture again here. In verse 35, it says that, do you not say that there are still 4 months, you know, in the season, as we talk about harvest time and seasoning, and Jesus saying that, you know, the harvest is white for harvest, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, and that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together.
So sometimes Christians excuse themselves from witnessing by saying that their family or friends aren't ready to believe. So Jesus, however, makes it clear here that around us a continual harvest waits to be reaped. So don't let Jesus find you or find us making excuses. You know, look around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You will find people ready to hear God's word. Today we were out having lunch, me and my husband. I thank God for the opportunity just to be able to spend time with my husband as much as I do. We were out having lunch, and it was a young lady that was waiting the table, and that was a word from God for her. That was a word, and that was something that God, you know, had for us to do for this young lady's life. And you got to make sure that you are doing what God is calling you to do, not to be selfish and think about what if this and what if they won't receive it and, you know, what about me, you know, because we sometimes get so caught up in ourselves that we forget we are supposed to do, you know, the will of God. Our mind should always be set on doing the will of God, not our own will, you know, but the will of God. And so that's very important. And this is what the scripture is saying to us here, you know, to make sure. Don't let Jesus find you making excuses and, you know, look around you. Look, you know, each and every day, there is someone. A lot of times people they put up a facade, you know, but you'll find out even when we were talking to the young lady, she did a really great job. She was happy. She was, you know, she was attentive. She was, you know, if you wasn't operating the spirit, you would have seen past what was really going on with the young lady. But if you look around you, you'll find people ready to hear God's word, needing that word. I mean, truly needing that word. And it is our responsibility to make sure that we are giving them the word of God. And when we look here at verse 36 and 38, we're talking about the wages here. The wages Jesus offers are the joy of working for him and seeing the harvest of believers when we know who he is and what he is doing in us and what he has already done for us. So these wages come to a sower and reap alike, because both find joy in seeing new believers coming to Christ's kingdom. And we should be excited, you know, about the new believer, those that would not believe in them. They are believers, you know, because we allow ourselves to be used for the kingdom of God. So the phrase, others have done the hard work, may refer to the Old Testament prophets and to John the Baptist, who paved the way for gospel. When we look at verse 39 here, many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So here, we're talking about who do they say I am. Who did she say that he was that made them run to see who is this that she's talking about? We must go see. You know, so the Samaritan woman immediately shared her experience with others. Despite her reputation, many took her invitation and came out to meet Jesus. Perhaps there are sins in our past of which we are ashamed of, and we know that's the work of the enemy to make us feel ashamed or guilty that nobody's not going to believe our word or take our word. There's no way that God is using you or using me because of our past or even where we are right now. But Christ changes us. And when we get Christ, we get changed. So as people see these changes, they become curious. So use these opportunities to introduce them to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That is our work. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it is our work, because we're all called, everybody that's in the body of Christ, that you are called to preach.
Yes.
You're called to heal. You're called to preach, even if you think that, you know, I'm reading the word of God, it's just for me. But no, it's not just for you, because the same word that you place your eyes on today could be the same word that somebody needs to hear today.
Yes, true.
And that's arming yourself. That's putting on the whole armor of God. That's what it's for us to do. We're all called to preach. And sometimes, you know, we would think that, you know, it's only the preacher that's at church is called to do that work. No, that is the work of all Christ, you know, to preach to every end of the word, to the world being preached. That's when God is going to come back again after the word been preached to every end of the world, all over. Has not been done yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank God. We thank God. Who do you say I am? Now,
Jesus.
This young lady here, I was sitting here, you know, we walked into this place. I'm glad you brought that up. We walked into this place. You know, I can tell that it was something, you know, her spirit, it was just pulling. It was pulling. You know, And you know, some things you just cannot deny. You know, our spirit was just pulling on us. It was just pulling on us. It was pulling and pulling. So when you said that, you know, know what? I have a word for her. I said, you know what? I know that. I know that you have a word for. I know that you have a word because I've already felt that when I walked in. Now, I don't know what the situation is. I definitely don't know what the situation is. But I know one thing. What I do know one thing is that, you know, God uses who he chooses, and God needs his believers. He needs the ones that know him to go out here and reach the ones that don't know him. Now, I don't know if she knows God or not, but I do know one thing. I do know one thing. When she realized that there are people that God have already sent, she said that, you know what, y'all sit right here in my section for a reason. So it was something that she was going through. It definitely something she was going through. And when we got up, after we prayed for her and, you know, we let her know that everything was going to be all right, you know, we got up, we was ready to leave. She had already walked away. The young lady, she almost ran back over there to us just to hug us to say thank you. With tears in her eyes. With tears in her eyes. So I'm just saying all that, you know, just to say, you know, let God use you all the time. You know, it's always a blessing to be. It's a blessing to be a blessing. A blessing to be a blessing. You never know when it's going to be your turn. You never know it's going to be your turn. You might be that person that needs to hear word of God. You might be that person that needs to touch and agree with somebody. She could have been right there at the end. I don't know, because she said that she was about to get ready to give up. She didn't say all what she was giving up on. But I don't know. What could she have been talking about, you know, to have those kind of tears in her eyes? To have those kind of tears in her eyes. What could she have been giving up? She could have been giving up on her life. I mean, I could easily think that maybe she was about to quit the job, or maybe she was about to walk out on a relationship or some sort, but I don't know what it is. But what I do know is when we were walking up out of here, I know that she had just a little bit more hope just to keep on going.
Amen.
And that's because it's the Holy Spirit that moves. Amen.
Amen. If you just been tuning into the show, we're talking about who do they say I am? Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Do you truly believe that? And like we said earlier, when you receive Christ, and you believe, and you know who he is, it is he that sits on the right hand of the Father that intercedes for you. It is he that brings you through. It is he that grants you the mercy and grace. It is he that stands before the Father. It is his blood that covers you so that God doesn't see your sin. So when you receive Jesus, you receive change. You receive all that Jesus can offer, not what man can offer, not what you can offer yourself, but we're talking about the supernatural blessing, the supernatural healing. We're talking about Jesus. Who do they say I am? And we're going to go to the scripture here. You all, if you come along with me, and I definitely want to pray for you all tonight. We just thank God for the opportunity. For me, every time I'm able to get on here on the line and be able to have the preaching the pastor show and to give the word of God, I'm just so grateful, because I know when I was in the place where I was doing something else, so be able to be used by God is wonderful for me. And also, you know, when you're in entertainment like I was before, people always waiting for that call from Hollywood, and they always say, did you get the call yet? And I want y'all to know I got the call. When God called me and said, now is the time, I've ordained you as a prophet to nations, a prophetess. You know, I was excited because I made it. And when I say I made it to where I always knew I would be. I always knew I would minister. I always knew that I had a calling on my life to do the work of God, to do kingdom work. So if you're waiting, a lot of times we're waiting on something that, you know, we're waiting on earthly things to happen. We're waiting on things that the earth say that makes us successful, that makes us right. So that just came from somewhere. How about that? We always say that just came from nowhere. That just came from somewhere. Somebody needed to hear that. So we just thank God. You know, if you're waiting on that call, that job, you know, that call of God, when God is calling you, you know what? Answer that call. That's a blessing in doing kingdom work. Amen. Who do they say I am? If you're just in tuning into the preaching, the pastor show, and we're in Matthew right now, Matthew 27, verse 39. I'm going to read a little bit for you all tonight, 39-56. So I ask God to bless the reader, the hearer, and the doer of his word tonight. The Bible reads in Matthew 27, verse 39-56. The Bible says that, and those who passed by blasting him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself.
if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So they are mocking him. Okay, so you said you're this, you're gonna, you can tear the temple down and build it in 3 days. So they're mocking him. So if you are the Son of God, you know, you should have power. So they're mocking Jesus because they don't even know who he is and what they've heard, what they said, what people are saying he is, but because they don't believe and they're telling, show me who you are. If you say that you are this, that you say you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. So they are mocking him. And then we read over to verse 41 says, likewise, the chief priests also, we're talking about the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others himself, he cannot, he saved others himself, he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Verse 43 says, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 44 says, and even the robbers who were crucified with him rivaled him with the same thing. So, and when we look at verse 40 here, this accusation was used against Jesus in his trial by the Jewish council. So it is ironic that Jesus was in the very process of fulfilling his own prophecy, because Jesus is the Son of God who always obeys the will of the Father. He did not come down from the cross. It's not that he could not come down, but he was fulfilling his own prophecy. So when we look at verse 44, later on, these robbers repented. Jesus promised that the repentant robber would join him in paradise, because he began to see who Jesus was. Who do you say I am? So now that robber that was robbing now is saying that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Save me. So he repented right there on the cross, because now he was, his language changed. He was, you know, he began to believe who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, and let me continue here. Verse 45 says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Emma, Sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man, not Jesus, not the Messiah, this man, they still not believing, this man is calling for Elijah. And 48 said, immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He gave up the ghost. So the Bible says in verse 51, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised up. They were raised. And verse 53 says, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And verse 44 says, so when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. We don't wait for something to happen in our life, because now they need for us to start believing. Believe right now. Don't wait till the end of the world. Don't wait till you lose it. Don't wait. Who do you say that Jesus is? And I'll back up a little bit in scripture here when we talk about what would happen for them to get to the point where they started believing who he said he was and who they were saying that he was, who the disciples were claiming that he was, and he was claiming who he was all this time. For they crucified him because he was declaring who he was. So he didn't move. He wasn't moved by man and their double-mindedness, their uncertainties. He wasn't moved because they didn't believe. He came to fulfill. So who do they say I am? When we look at verse 45 here, so we don't know how this darkness occurred, but it is clear that God caused it. Nature testified to the gravity of Jesus' death. While Jesus' friends and enemies alike fell silent, they fell silent in this encircling gloom. So the darkness on that Friday afternoon was both physical and spiritual. When we look at verse 46, Jesus was not questioning God. He was quoting the first line of Psalms 22, a deep expression of the anguish he felt when he took on the sins of the world. Can you imagine taking on the sins of the world, not just, you know, one person? We're talking about the world, the entire world. He died not just for the Jews, he died for everybody. So which caused him to be separated from his father. So this was what Jesus dreaded as he prayed to God in the garden to take the cup from him. So the physical agony was horrible, but even worse was the spiritual separation from God. So Jesus suffered this double death so that we would never have to experience eternal separation from God. So who is he in your life? Who do you say that Jesus is? So by the bystanders here in verse 47 misinterpreted Jesus' words and thought that he was calling for Elijah, because Elijah ascended into heaven without dying. So they thought that he would return again to rescue them from great trouble. After their annual Passover feast, each family set an extra place for Elijah in expectation of his return. So this is why they thought he was calling on Elijah. So in verse when we look at verse 51, the temple had three main parts, you all: the courts, the holy place, where only the priest could enter, and the most holy place, where only the high priest could enter, and only once a year to atone for the sins of the nation. So the veil separating the holy place from the most holy place was torn in two at Christ's death, symbolizing that the barrier between God and humanity was removed. Now all people are free to approach God because of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Who do they say I am? As we are studying the word of God, who do you say that Jesus is? Understanding who he is and how he decreed and declared who he was during this time, and they still denied who he was until this moment came, and they had to see it for their own eyes, that they were afraid, that everything shook in the earth, in the heavens, everything shook when Jesus died. Christ's death was accompanied by at least four miraculous events: darkness, the tearing of the two of the veil in the temple, an earthquake, and dead people rising from their tombs. Jesus' death, therefore, could not have gone unnoticed. Everyone knew something significant had happened. So who do you say that Jesus is in your life? Amen.
Amen. I want to answer that question. I want to answer that question. Now, this question might mean something a little bit different to everyone, but I want to answer that question. Who do I say that he is? Well, for me, he's life.
Yes.
He's life for me.
Yes.
Because I can remember when I thought that my life was over with. So he is life for me. He is a new word that is in my mouth. He's a new word that is in my heart. He's a new word that is in my mind.
My Lord.
He is my love. He is my love.
Yes.
The first love that I ever known. That's who he is to me.
Mm-hmm.
He is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
He's forgiveness.
Yes,
now,
he
see,
is.
These are
yes,
things
is.
That I had to learn. I had to learn that, you know, this is who he is. Now, the same love that he is in me is the same love that I give to you, the same love that I give
Amen.
To everyone else. The same forgiveness that he
Lord.
Is to me. This is the same forgiveness that I give to everyone else, even when I don't know how. But see, I know how to forgive because I know I have been forgiven.
Yes.
He is my comfort. He is my confidence. That's who he is to me. He is my strength.
Mm.
You know, when I feel like, you know, that I'm lonely, when I feel like that I'm weak, when I feel like I don't have all that I need, see, this is where I find my strength at. You know, he's my joy. He's where I find joy, something that no one can ever take away, because I know who he is now. He's my second chance. That's who he is to me. He's my second chance. Now, not only that he is my second chance, see, now I realize that all that Christ has done in my life, what he's doing right now, he is my eyes. See, now I know how to use him. So I can see. He is my eyes that see through all darkness. Because there are times in your life where you find yourself, you're in darkness. And you don't know where you're going or how you get out of it. But see, he is my light that shines through all darkness. And I trust him.
Yes,
I trust you. Now, at one point in time, you know, I did not know him. And because I did not know him, I wasn't in a place to where I can trust him. But when I find myself in that place to where I'm getting to know him more, believing and trusting him more, see, now I know how to come out of certain places because I know to call on him. I know to call on him.
Yes.
Now, one thing that I like to say all the time, and every time that I say that, it builds me like stacking blocks. That's how I feel like it builds me. I say that I am the righteousness of God, whole with immense power and authority. Now, see,
yes.
I have the right to say that because it is Jesus Christ who has made me righteous, not by
yes.
anything that I have said or not by anything I have done. It's because how I believe. I believe in who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm covered. I'm covered by his blood. And because I'm covered
yes.
by his blood, see, I'm saved.
Yes.
Who do I say he is? He is my Lord.
Jesus.
And he is my
Jesus.
Savior. And he has saved me. And I'm underneath
yes,
his covenant
Lord.
Of grace. And I will stay up underneath his covenant of grace for the rest of my life until
yes.
he calls me home. It ain't nothing that
my
the
Lord.
Devil can do about it. And it ain't nothing that Satan's agent can do about it. Nobody's going to change my mind about who I am. And nobody's going to change my mind about who he is. You might have could have did it earlier in my life, but at this point in my life, nothing can separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
I shall never be separated from my. I will always give him praise. I will always give him honor. He will always be the
yes.
words that come out of my mouth. He will be the song that's in my heart because that's who he is to
yes.
me.
Yes.
That's who he is to me. Who do you
Jesus.
Say I am? Jesus Christ, you are my Lord. Amen.
If you just going to tune into the preacher and pastor, who do they say I am? We're talking about Jesus Christ. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is you? Who are they saying that Jesus is? People to this day still do not believe, you know, that Jesus Christ came and he did it all on the cross and that because of him
uh-huh.
we are able to receive salvation. And when you don't receive Christ, you can't receive your peace. You can't receive your, you know, your healing. You just, you know, it's so much in Christ. You can't receive that life and life in abundance. But once you receive Christ, you receive change. There are benefits. The Bible
yeah.
says that he is the Almighty One. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the Advocate.
Yeah.
He's our Advocate, our Author, Perfecter of our faith. And he is the authority. He's the bread of life. And we go to John 6, chapter 6, verse 35 here. The Bible says that in John 6 and 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall
uh-huh.
never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Verse 38 says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 39 says, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, and I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Verse 40 says, And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus is saying, I'm sent by the Father. It is the will of God that you be saved, that you be delivered, that you be set
yeah.
free, that you have rest, that you have peace, that you have life in abundance. He said, it's him that sent me. So who can they say I
yeah.
am? When we look at these scriptures, what is the Bible saying to us? And just briefly, people ate bread to satisfy physical hunger and to sustain physical life. My husband loves to eat bread. Every time we go to the store, he has to get a couple of loaves of bread.
Amen.
A couple of loaves of bread every day, every 2 days. So we can satisfy
Amen.
Spiritual hunger and sustain spiritual life only by our right relationship with Jesus Christ. So no wonder he called himself the bread of life, but bread must be eaten to sustain life, and Christ must be invited into our daily walk to sustain spiritual life. So when we look at these scriptures, Jesus did not work independently of God the Father, but in union with him. This should give us even more assurance of being welcome into God's presence and being protected by him. Jesus' purpose was to do the will of God, not to satisfy Jesus' human desires. When we follow Jesus, we should have the same purpose. Jesus said he would lose even one person, that he would not lose even one person whom the Father had given him. So does anyone who makes a sincere commitment to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior is secure in God's promise of everlasting life? Christ will not let his people be overcome by Satan and lose their salvation. And then we look at verse 40 here, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So those who put their faith in Christ will be resurrected from physical death to everlasting life with God when Christ comes again. who do they say I am? Who do you say that Jesus is in your life? He has the authority. He is the bread of life. He's the beloved Son of God. He's the bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our deliverer. He is the master. He is Lord. He is Emmanuel. God is with us. He is the Word. He is Lord. He is all in all for all. Amen. We have about 5 minutes left in the show. I'm excited. Let's get food for thought, Pastor.
Yeah, what a great word that went forth tonight. And I thank the Holy Spirit for leading the way. I thank the Holy Spirit for being so present. I thank everyone for being on the Preaching the Pastor show tonight. You know, everyone that's touching the audience right now. And I thank everyone that was a part of Bible study tonight. You know, I really have been blessed today. Even on the young lady, you know, that we met today. You know, food for thought for tonight. Trust God.
Yes. And who he is, yes.
That's pretty much, you know, the word, you know, trust God. You know, it's easy for us to look like, you know, things ain't going the right way, so, you know, to give up. It's easy for you to give up. You know, that's what Satan wants you to do, to give up. You know, but trust God. He's an on-time God, and he will never leave you nor forsake you no matter what. No matter what. And if you get a chance today or tomorrow, sow a good seed in somebody else's life. Share a little bit of love. Share a little bit of something with someone else. But that's the work of God. Amen.
Yes. Amen. And I want to pray for you all as we leave, as we close out tonight. We're here every night, 8 p.m., Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. on the Preaching the Pastor show, and Sunday service at 2 p.m. If you can be a part of with us, please do so. Let us be a blessing to your life, and we just thank God for you. The word from the scripture before we close out, as I pray, the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. So here God gave Jesus authority over heaven and earth. On the basis of that authority, Jesus told his disciples to make more disciples as they preach, baptize, and talk. With this same authority, Jesus still commands us to tell others the good news and to make them disciples for the kingdom. When someone is dying or leaving us, his or her last words are very important. Jesus left the disciples with these last words of instruction. They were under his authority. They were to make more disciples. They were to baptize and teach these new disciples to obey Christ. Christ would be with them always. He would be with us always. Whereas in previous missions of Jesus had sent his disciples only to the Jews, their mission at that time for now and would be worldwide. Jesus is Lord of the earth, and he died for the sins of people. He died for our sins for all nations, from all nations. We are to go, whether it is next door to another country, and make disciples. It is an option, but a command to all. It is not, I'm sorry, y'all. It is not an option, but a command to all who call Jesus Lord. We are not all evangelists in formal sense, but we have all received gifts that we can use to help fulfill the Great Commission. As we obey, we have comfort in the knowledge that Jesus is always with us. Jesus' word affirms the reality of the Trinity. Some people accuse the theologians of making up the concept of the Trinity and reading into Scripture. So as we see here, the concept comes directly from Jesus himself. He did not say baptize them into the names, but into the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. The word Trinity does not occur in Scripture, but it will describe the three in one nature of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. So the disciples were to baptize people because baptism unites a believer with Jesus Christ in his or her death to sin and resurrection to new life. Baptism symbolizes submission to Christ, a willingness to live God's way, and identification with God's covenant people. May God bless you all. Father God, I ask that you bless every listener on tonight. Lord God, bless their situation. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would divinely intervene, Lord God, and turn their situation around for the good, whether it be their health, their strength, their peace, their joy, their finances, their relationships. Father God, you know their name. You know everything that we go through, Father God. You know all that we need before we ask in Jesus' name. So, Father God, we just want to say thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing, all that you're about to do in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And, Father God, we ask that you just have your way, oh God. Lord, we need you, Lord. We need more of you and less of ourselves. Oh, Father God, give us you. Everything else can wait. We come surrendering all over to you, Father God. Lord, purify and sanctify our mind and thoughts on on tonight, Father God. Lord, help us to keep our minds straight on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we need peace on tonight, oh God. Lord, we need your help, Lord God. We can't do it by ourselves. Lord, we fail, oh God, but we know with you all things are possible. So, Father God, we ask that you just have your way, God. Have your way, Lord. Lord, we just want to say, for your blessing, Lord God. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you, Lord, and we believe and we trust, Lord God, in all that you say, Lord God, and all that you've done, Lord God, and we will continue to trust and believe in you, Lord God, for all that we need and more. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory, and we all say amen. God bless you. We'll be back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m., God willing, and we know he will. We just trust God. God bless you. Good night. We love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen.
Come on, put your hands together.